This morning we are in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 9, big chapter. We're toward the end of this chapter. So Luke chapter 9, we will start reading in verse number 57. We will read responsively down to verse number 62. So Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62, the Bible says in verse 57, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee wherever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. And let's pray together this morning. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. God, thank you for the fact that it's inerrant. God, it's inspired. It's preserved, and it's been given to us and passed down by faithful people through the ages. And God, thank you that this morning, here in our hands and in our mouths, we have your perfect eternal word. God, I pray that you would please speak to us through it and through our pastor, your man. God, please give us exactly what we need. You know what that is? For our church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As I look back on this road I have traveled, I've seen so many times he's carried me through. And if there's one thing in my life that I've learned, my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he had said he mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. My heart rejoices when I read his promise. There is a place that I'm preparing for you. Someday I'll see my Lord face to face. My Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he had said he will do. Every morning his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. And in every situation, he has proved his love for me. When I lack the understanding, he gives more grace to me. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Said he will do. Every morning his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer, he is faithful.
are in the book of Luke. We have a new breed. I'm not old. I'm older than I was yesterday, of course, but not old. But I have been a Christian. Let's see, 70. Wow. Is that right? 78. That's how I do it. And I'm good at math, but something about the years messes me up. So that's 41 years? 41 years this Easter. Man, I'm glad I got saved at a young age. I was like minus five when I got saved. But I have been saved long enough to see that we have a new breed of Christianity. It's nothing more than really a self-serving, one-sided relationship. By the way, whenever we have a Christianity that is self-serving, disillusionment can settle in. John F. Kennedy said, and it's very famous, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. We seem to have flipped that, haven't we? That's not the purpose of this message. We could state that in Christian terms. Ask not what Christ can do for you, but ask what can you do for Christ? Because he's already done great things for us. I'm not saying that Christ doesn't want to do great things for us even after saving us, because he does. Doesn't mean there will not be hardships in our life, because there are. But God wants us to be committed. He wants us to be a disciple. He wants us to be a Christian on a deeper level. So we look at our verses here. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. He and his disciples had been rejected by a village of the Samaritans as he was going to Jerusalem. As they were on the way, he is encountered by three different individuals, or he has encounters with three different individuals. They all revolve in some way about them following Jesus Christ. In each instance, to either the offer, either from Christ or from the other, the response is different. What Jesus is teaching here, that following him wholly, or being a truly serious disciple, is not as easy as we think. I do believe that the Christian life is the greatest life anybody could ever live. By the way, life is just hard in general. And if we think that being a Christian and following Christ is going to absolve us of the difficulties of this life, we are sadly mistaken. That's why sometimes we tell people, you know, if you just follow Jesus, he has this wonderful plan and everything's going to be great. By the way, he does have a wonderful plan. And by the way, everything is going to be great, but everything is not going to be easy. The benefits that Jesus gives us, everything working out together for our good, no matter what it is, those they're given to those who are truly dedicated to following him. As a well-known pastor several years ago, not our type of pastor, a quasi-Christian, has a huge church, and he told the crowd that following Jesus, even if they don't receive him as Savior, still leads to a better life. He also said Christians should be quiet about issues and just live their faith silently. He was trying to sell to a group of people that just follow Jesus, even if you're not saved, everything will be okay. That's not true. Jesus wants us to trust him as Savior first and foremost, and afterwards he wants us to follow him, and there might be some difficulties along that path. Now, I will say this, just because someone knows Jesus does not mean that they are truly following Jesus. There's a little phrase that people like to use now. They don't want to call themselves Christians. They want to call themselves Christ followers. I'm a follower. Now, let me just say this. This isn't the message, but I thought I'd just throw this in because we're not going this route. We sometimes think because somebody who in the name of Christ or in the name of Christianity does something wrong, we should back away from the term. Well, the Bible uses the term Christian. And by the way, here's what's happening in our country. People are taking the word church off church. Welcome to the bridge. Hey, listen, I've been to the bridge. Every time I go through San Francisco, we cross it, the Golden Gate Bridge. Okay, I'm not going to go to church on the bridge. Where are we meeting? Where are we going to meet up there? The journey. I take a journey every year. It's called vacation. I survive barely. Okay? No, we're not going to hide it. We're a church. By the way, we're not just a church. We're a Baptist church because the word Baptist stands for something. And that's why. It's not some badge of dishonor. And it's not something that says we're better than everybody else. But it stands for specific beliefs that just so happens from the Bible we espouse. So people like to come up with these little cute phrases to switch it. I'm just okay with being a Christian. But Christians follow Christ. Now, the point is this morning, as we look at these three encounters very briefly, we see three ways we can follow Christ. Three different ways. And I want us to examine ourselves this morning. And I want us to see if any of these three match up to how we follow Christ. Number one. By the way, I never hand out an outline, but I hand out one in Sunday school. And I sent the wrong lesson to the girls, and I was trying to give a Sunday school lesson. They're like, hey, that's not what's in our lesson. My message is actually in that lesson. So if you're in the Pacific Bible class and you have an outline, guess what? You have the message this morning. But don't get ahead of me, okay? Number one, we follow with commitment. Look at verse 57. It came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, you can call this reality check, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not to wear his head, to lay his head. Now, I'm not saying this guy was insecure. It was insincere. But he comes to Jesus, I'll follow you anywhere you want. I'll go everywhere. Jesus says, just as long as you know, foxes have place to go, birds have place to go. I don't even have a pillow to put my head on. You know what he was telling them? You might want to think about what you're saying. Because if you're going to follow me, here's what it takes. Commitment. It takes commitment. Jesus didn't jump up and down and say, got another one. Got someone who's going to follow. I've noticed something, not all the time, but a lot of times sometimes they'll visit church and they'll come up and they'll say, some people, it's true, Jerry, you said you liked it the first time and you stuck around. Some people say, this is the best thing ever. I'm going to join the church. Where's the tithing envelopes? Usually that's code word for me, like, I will never see them again. Unless it's someone that has a church background and they kind of get it, right? And I'm not saying that's wrong, but it's like Jesus didn't jump up and down and say, woo! He said, I got to tell you how it's going to really be. You want to follow me? Let me just, by the way, you know what that's called? That's called honesty. Jesus didn't lie to people. You can't trick people into serving God. By the way, you can't be tricked into serving God. Let me just tell, I'm trying to untrick you. Let me just tell you this. If you're going to follow God, you're going to be here for a while, you need to be committed. How many people have trouble with that? We come, we start down the path, some little thing trips us up, and we take off the other way. We need to be careful. If we're going to follow Jesus, we need to be careful. We need to make sure that we're fighting our own pride. You know, I almost sense, and maybe I'm wrong, that there's a twinge of pride in that statement. Hey, Jesus, just want to let you know, I'm right here. I'm going to follow you. And that's nice, and no matter where you go. Listen, he had no idea where that path was going to take him. Yeah. Can I just ask you something? Will you really be committed to following Jesus no matter where that path takes you? Because I'll be honest with you, sometimes that path can be very dark. Yeah. I didn't know this. You were up at the pastor's conference, Pastor Bud Silva. Brother Esposito's preacher. I think our tour group's been there in the past. Good man. He visited our church, I think, last summer on vacation. I didn't know this about him. He had a book that just came out. In 1982, he started a church up in Avondale in the Central California. And their church is about a year old. They didn't have a Christian school. And they had about, I don't know, six or seven kids that they wanted to go to Christian school. So what they would do, they would get in a van every morning and they would drive 60 miles to Brother Benefield's church in Visalia to be in their Christian school. And so they would take turns driving. A different parent would drive every week. On Friday, it was Pastor Silva's wife would drive the kids, and he would take the children that were in school, his wife would, and he would take their three children, 4, 3, and 2. On this particular Friday, they got in the car to go. Brother Silva would usually go with her on Friday, but they were having a big day in church on Sunday, and so he stayed back. He heard a report later on that day. Someone said, "Hey, you know, there was a report of a van that had crashed over on the same highway they were driving." 1982, you know, you didn't have the internet, all that, so you couldn't catch on to things fast. So he was concerned it might be their van, and he drove. And about 40 miles out, he found it. A semi had swerved in the other lane to miss a car that was stalled and came and smashed into their church van head on. There was 11 people in that van, including his wife and three children. Everybody in the van died but one. The only one that survived was his 4-year-old, and that's because a teenager in the van saw the truck coming and grabbed the little girl to hold on to her and shielded her, and she actually lived in his arms as he passed away. You know, he could have got bitter. But he understood. I saw the newspaper clippings and how he's witnessing right away to these newspaper reporters are coming, talking to him about how can you still serve God after that? Now, I'm not saying God does that to everybody, but look, can I just tell you something? How committed are we? See, because when we're self-serving, we would say, how could I serve a God that would allow that? We don't know why things happen. And by the way, we live in a sin-cursed world. That's just what happens. But I know this, if we're committed to God, we'll go down that path no matter what will come. We better not be proud about that. Do you understand? All of us are weak, all of us are flesh, and our commitment level can stop at any time. I just look, we can't even be committed to being faithful to church services. We just can't. I mean, we you know, if we show up once a week, we think we're martyrs for the faith. We miss for the smallest little thing. Some of us that have a ministry job, we do something in the church, we're not faithful to it. But let's be committed. Let's be committed. But let's figure out the cost. Jesus said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have the nest. It cost. It used to be that our country, even though it was never, that was founded on Christian principles. We understand all of that. Many of our founding fathers had Christian principles, and many of them had divinity degrees. But our country has turned from that. And so how committed are we? We don't think ahead to what is it going to cost us. We're like, if everything goes well, then I'll serve Jesus Christ. Well, you need to look ahead and figure out, what if things don't go well? Yep. If you go to a recruiting place, an Army recruitment office, you'll see incentives and posters for the military. Sign up today and receive $50,000 for college. Get a $20,000 signing bonus. Join the Navy and see the world. They make it sound like it's a Disney cruise. By the way, their ships are a lot different than cruise ships. You can fly high in the U.S. Air Force. You can fly high other ways too, by the way, but I don't suggest it. We are looking for a few good men. And in you, they didn't find one. Those are great incentives, aren't they? What's missing, though? You know what's missing? It's a life of sacrifice. It's a life of danger. It's a life of service. No, I'm sure they understand all that, but you know, the flashy slogans aren't everything. And all boy, we just think that we can sugarcoat everything and make Christianity look like a Tootsie Pop. Sweet on the outside, chewy on the inside. It's not. It's the greatest thing you can do, but it's like life. The better thing is you have Jesus to go with you through everything, but we must be committed. Amen. Are you a committed follower today? Next, we follow with commitment or we follow with calling. Look at verse 59, I'm sorry, in Luke. He said unto another. Now the first guy came to him. Now Jesus is going to go to somebody else. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. So Jesus says, I'm calling you. This one he says, hey, follow me. And what does he do? He makes excuses. He's hesitant. By the way, God calls all of us to follow him. Each and every, sometimes we think about calling. You know, God called me to be a pastor. God called me to be a missionary. And if he does, excuse me, great. But quit looking for a calling for something like that. I know one thing that God's called everybody to do, and is follow that book right there. Okay? Nobody escapes that one. And God tells, and Jesus tells all of us to follow him. But you know what the problem is? We're hesitant. Well, we'll step up to the plate and we'll take the salvation because that's a benefit. But after salvation, we won't use our lives and use ourselves to serve him and follow him in every way that he tells us. What does he tell him? Answer him. Instead of answering him, look, that was a pretty simple question. Follow me. The answer is either yes or what? No. Here's his answer, an excuse. That's no answer. Well, let me go and bury my father. Now, I don't believe his father was dead. I believe he's saying, you know, let me go home, wait till my father's dead, I'll bury him, the family's in place, and then I'll go. But he didn't answer the question. By the way, if you have children, you know this. How can you tell when your children have done something wrong? You ask them a question, they don't answer it. Did you hit your sister? Oh, I was playing in the backyard. Well, I don't care where you hit her. I mean, you know, thank you. Yeah, I had lunch. Well, so did I. Thank you. God bless you. They don't answer the question. And that's how this guy is. He doesn't answer him. Listen, if we're going to follow Jesus and we're going to be follow his calling, just say yes. Some people say no. Some people say later. You know. By the way, I bought that one for a while. After I got saved and in high school, I'm like, I'll wait till I get married and then your life ends after that, and then I'll do it. You know, isn't that how we all think? Lord, after I get married, you know, and I have my fun and do whatever I want to do, you know, start having children, and then by then everything comes to a crashing halt anyhow, then I'll serve you. It usually doesn't happen that way. That's just an excuse. When you tell God you're waiting, what you're telling is, I'm not going to do it. That's a no. If I ask somebody, hey, I need help with something. Can you do this? And they're like, you know, maybe. It's like, all right. You ever invite someone to church? Hey, why don't you come join us? Maybe. That's a nice way and more letters of spelling no. Yeah. Let's answer him right away. Avoid delaying him. Jesus said, let dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the gospel. He goes, listen, it's not the time for that now. Go do what you're supposed to be doing. We like, again, as I mentioned, we like to delay. Delay is very, very, very dangerous because the longer you obey doing what you know you're supposed to do, the better the chance is you're never going to do it. I read a story many years ago. There was a pastor, and he and his family, towards the winter time, they were at Niagara Falls, and they were watching this event that would occur. There was these chunks of ice, and what had happened, I guess some of the fish had frozen in water before the water, before it heated up and it started melting. And the fish had died inside of the ice, and so these birds would come and land on the ice chunks, as they were going towards the Niagara Falls, and they would try to pick away and get some of the fish that they could before it would go over the edge. And what happened, they would wait till the last minute, it'd go over the edge, and they would fly away. One bird wasn't paying attention very well, and he had really dug in there and been on that ice for a while, and they're watching it like, is that bird going to jump off? And he kept waiting and waiting. Like, man, that's the note. What had happened is the bird had been on that ice so much, his claws had actually frozen into the ice. And so at the very last minute, he thought, I'll get away. And he started flapping his wings. They said the ice actually for a while delayed, but it was too heavy. Down he went. You know, don't delay. Delays are destructive. Yeah. Always follow God's prompts right away. God ever speak to you about something when you're reading your Bible or you're in a message and you're like, well, I'm going to take care of that. And then you wait. What happens? Never happens. If you're going to serve Jesus, I'll tell you when the day to serve Jesus is. It's today. Okay? You know, today's the day. It's the only day you have promised. Yesterday is over. Tomorrow, you might have it. But I know this, you got today. Yep. Let's follow him. And then the last follower, we follow with conditions. Verse 61. Here comes this guy running up. Lord, I will follow me, but first, let me bid them farewell which are at my home. Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. Now, this guy didn't want to say no. He said, I'll follow you, but let me go home and take care of some issues here, and then I'll come back. Jesus said, that's not going to work. He's different than the willing one. He doesn't just make this blanket statement about following Christ, but he adds his own condition to it. That's how most Christians are. I'll just be honest with you. If you ask me, what are the percentage of Christians in America that actually come to church, you know what I'm saying, are? They're not, the vast majority aren't committed. The vast majority aren't following his call to follow him. You know what the majority of them are? I got conditions. Yeah, I'm going to follow you, but these got to line up. I'm going to follow you, but it's got to be on my terms. Let me just share something with you. That doesn't work. Now, if you're buying something and it's like, you know, and you're going back and forth to salesman, here's my terms. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, this is not a bargaining position. I don't know if you know this, but he is God. So he kind of gets to set the dictates. He kind of needs to set up the prerequisites. That's why then he talks either, if you're going to follow me, take up your cross and forsake. Listen, he sets the requirements. We don't. We just get in line. But everybody wants to put in their own little conditions. You know, I'll follow you, Lord, but I want to. We have those kind of stipulations, don't we? I'll come to church, but you know what? That whole thing about sharing my faith, inviting people to church, I'll never do that. You know, I'm in on everything else. That's just not my spiritual gift. It's not a spiritual gift. It's a solid command. I'll join the church, but I could never afford to tithe. By the way, none of us can. I feel God wants me to do this, but I've always wanted to do that. By the way, parents, you do that with your children. This is probably a Sunday night thought, but I'll just share it this morning. Some of you'd probably be disappointed if your kid became a pastor or a missionary. I'd be disappointed if that is what God wanted for my children and they didn't do it. Because I know this, if they made $1 million and that's not what God wanted them to do, and by the way, I'm not against people making $1 million, amen? Now I am if they don't tithe, but we need some of you to make more money. Let's just be real honest here. We'll get that building done and then we'll remodel this building. It'll be good, okay? But, you know, I would rather have them be in God's will over here. Now, by the way, I've met a few on the other side. Remember, I met a guy who came out here to do work. He goes, man, I'm not supposed to, because I couldn't preach. I couldn't. My pastor told me, go take that church in Idaho. The guy goes, ugh. He goes, okay, I did it. He goes, man, it was two of the roughest years of my life. Because I gave it my all. That just wasn't my calling. That wasn't my gift. That wasn't what God wanted, but he tried. Okay? But we need to find our place. But we're disappointed if God calls our children to do something. I just want them to do what God wants them to do. That's that. I'm saved, but I could never let anybody know. Let's not be like that. Let's not have conditions. Don't hesitate. Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow. When you get on that plow, once you get in that field, they get that wooden plow and they had that oxen in front of them going. That was hard work. It wasn't some tractor. Once they got in, they were in on it. Don't hesitate. Go put your hand on the plow. Let's not hesitate. There's anything, let me just tell you, if you're not following Christ the way that he commands us to, let me just tell you, quit hesitating. Get over that. Let's just do it. If you're struggling in areas, whether it's your spiritual life, whether it's your commitment to Christ, whether it's your faithfulness, you figure out what's stopping you from being what God wants you to be and quit hesitating, and today's the day. Don't hesitate. We hesitate because we have a lack of faith. We don't know. We don't believe that God knows what's best for me. We don't believe that God wants what's best for me, and we don't believe that God would give what is best for us. That's why we don't follow him the way he tells us to follow him. That's just bottom line. The bottom line, whenever we buck what God is telling us to say and we want to do our own thing, we just don't believe that God really has our best interests at heart. We feel we have it figured out over here. And then faithfully go forward. He goes, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. I need you to understand what that's talking about. How would they, when they were plowing, you wanted to furrow in straight lines. They didn't have the kind of equipment that our farmers have nowadays. So here's how they would do it. They would get on the plow, they get the thing, and they start going forward, and they would excuse me, fix their eyes on some fixed point straight in front of them, and they follow that. As long as they followed that, they would get as straight as they possibly could. But if they turned and looked the other way or whatever, they were going to get off course. How many Christians do that, don't we? We start out, we have our conditions, we think we'll follow him, but we'll look around this way. Listen, you're all over the map. That's why Christianity has a black eye in this country. I'm just going to tell you, they're not fit, they're not on the plow. They're like, I'll just follow Jesus. I got one hand on the plow. I'm looking over here, I'm looking over there, all these different things because this is what I want. This is my condition. And you know what? Christianity is a mess. But it doesn't have to be a mess in my life, and it doesn't have to be a mess in your life. Amen. Do you have conditions? As we finish, what kind of follower are you? Are you a committed follower? Are you someone that'll say, I'm in this thing? And I mean it? Understanding that you don't know what's coming? Are you going to accept his call and follow him because of all that he's told us and that he has commanded us to follow him? Are you a follower with conditions? As long as everything is going good, I'm in. But the second something in my life turns right, I'm going to ditch out God. Can I just tell you something? Something is going to go right. Turn right, not go right. There will be issues. You're not exempt from life just because you're a Christian. But you are exempt from going through life with no purpose and by yourselves if you follow Christ. Why don't we follow him the way he commands us to this morning? Why don't we quit trying to direct our lives? Because I'll just be honest with you. If I try to direct my own life, it's going to be a mess. It's going to be a mess. But if I try to direct my life by following God's will, I could look back at my life and you could look back on your life if you're following the Lord. The places we are and where we're at now, it's like, how in the world did I get here? You just follow the Lord. He'll keep us on the path. Well, sometimes there's been bumpy roads, and I'm sure there are going to be bumpy roads ahead. We got to be committed. Follow his calling with no conditions. Let's all stand this morning, please.